For this morning's public reading from God's Word, turn with me once again to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. Well, so far in Luke's Gospel, we have seen an angelic visitation to Zacharias, who was the father of John the Baptist. Then we saw the fact that as soon as he got home, despite their age, but in accordance to what God promised, Elizabeth is found to be with child. And at the sixth month of her pregnancy, Mary, her cousin, receives her angelic visitation. And there the angel calls her highly favored, highly graced, to be the vessel, the mother of the Savior of the world. And Mary says to the angel, "How can this be? I know not of man. I have not known a man yet. How can this be?" And then in that verse 35, the angel brings each member of the Godhead. He brings the Trinity into play. God the Father, who is going to send God the Son, and the sending of God the Son would be done by the instrumentality of God the Holy Spirit. So the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are all united in bringing about this virgin conception and the virgin birth. And we saw Mary in verse 38, what did she say to the angel? Let it be. She didn't balk. She didn't refuse. She didn't tell the angel, well, why can't God pick on somebody else? Why poor me? Don't you realize the stigma that's going to fall upon me in the village? Well, knowing all of that, apparently, Mary says, may the Lord's will be done. Well, we're going to pick up now with verse 39. Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judea, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that after, when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, when Mary comes into the home and greets her cousin, the babe, which is John the Baptist, leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe, which is John the Baptist, leaped in my womb, not because he had a hiccup, but he leapt with joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told of her from the Lord. Verse 45 is Elizabeth's words to Mary. Mary is the subject of Elizabeth's words. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty had done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He had shown strength with his arms. He had scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He had put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He had filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he sent away empty hand. He sent away empty. He had hoped or helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Please be seated, and may God choose to bless his word. Well, quickly, what are some of the golden nuggets that we can walk away from here? Well, we find out that Mary and Elizabeth were related by blood. They were cousins, which meant that John the Baptist and Jesus were also cousins. So in all likelihood, as John the Baptist and Jesus grew up as young boys, you know, playing in the dirt, playing in the sand, playing hide and seek, or whatever games that they played back in the first century, just picture that there was a time when John the Baptist and Jesus, as little kids, as toddlers, played together probably when these households would gather together for fellowship, for food, or for a festival, or for a holiday. Just conceive in your mind the fact that John the Baptist and Jesus once played together in the sand pile, if you will. Ran around, if you will. Okay, maybe they played tiddlywinks, or they had their own version of a yo-yo game, or whatever, hopscotch. They played together. Well, as soon as Mary enters the home, and that salutation is exchanged, John the Baptist leaps in his mother's womb for joy, and there are those who take the position. Now listen to this. This is uniquely challenging. There are those who say, well, if he was filled with the Holy Spirit, John the Baptist would have been one of the only individuals who was saved while in the womb. Remember, we're all born sinners. We have a sinful, fallen nature. We don't come out of our mother's womb. And as we grow into, you know, being a toddler or heading into adolescence, we just automatically praise God. Most of us grew up as little rebels, disobeying mommy, disobeying daddy, sassing back at the teacher, getting in trouble in the neighborhood. But John the Baptist, while 6 months in his mother's womb, God decides to save him and convert him in the womb, probably, because he's filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't fill lost people. The Holy Spirit only fills those who are saved, who are in Christ. That's a marvelous concept to even meditate upon. And then Elizabeth gives her words, and then Mary picks up in verse 46. Mary said, my soul that magnified the Lord, and my spirit had rejoiced in God my Savior. Now, I was raised a Roman Catholic up until the age of 18. And I was taught that Mary was born sinless. Well, here the Bible conflicts with Roman Catholic teaching. The Bible says, or Mary states, she calls God her Savior. Well, beloved, if you were born sinless, you don't need a Savior. Mary was no different than you and I. She was born with a sinful nature. Mary committed sins. What they were, we don't know, but God knew them. And yet she was a saved woman, and she calls God her Savior. And then Mary begins to let loose with this beautiful sermon, if you will, this beautiful confession, this beautiful statement about God himself. If you read all the way down from verses 48 all the way down to verses 54, now listen carefully, many believe that Mary was no older than 15 or 16 years old when she married Joseph. Joseph was slightly older than Mary, and that was quite common in the Middle Eastern culture. Even to this day, girls who are in their mid to late teens sometimes marry a man who's in his 30s, 40s, or 50s. That's acceptable in that culture. So Joseph was older than Mary. And yet notice the wisdom of Mary. Mary didn't have a copy of a Bible. Mary didn't have a church to go to. Mary couldn't turn on the internet and hear some gospel preacher preaching at her. She simply went to the synagogue in her day and listened to what was read and what was being preached by the rabbis. Notice the depth of her understanding of who God is. It's marvelous what a girl in her mid-teens had this much perception and conception of who God is. Now, I want to end with verse 56 because this is important. When Mary goes to Elizabeth's house, she has just been engaged to Joseph, meaning the 12 months of her engagement, where she's basically watched by everybody to make sure she doesn't become unfaithful, begins when she visits her cousin. The Bible tells you she left Elizabeth's home 3 months after her visit, meaning that either John the Baptist was already born or about to be born when Mary decides to go home. But when she goes home, she's already 3 months with child and probably what? Showing. How is Joseph and her village in Nazareth going to accept the fact that when she left 3 months earlier, she wasn't pregnant? Now she comes back home after visiting her cousin, and now she's 3 months with child. How in the world is Joseph, her family, and the village going to react? Well, that will be in our next reading eventually. Well, may the Lord bless you, and may you ponder these words.